Hey everybody, it is Libby with Fearlessness. What is fearlessness? It is that underlying grit that empowers us as entrepreneurs to forge ahead. Even when hope seems distant, it's the courage to walk through those fires of hell, knowing we will come out stronger on the other side. Stay tuned and learn how to get fearlessness. I'm your host, Libby DeLucian, and my guest today is Karina. Karina, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi guys, I'm Karina Borgia-LaCroix. I am the owner of American Real Title and Borgia Consulting Corporation. We are 100% female and minority owned business. So we do have a minority designation, which I'm very happy about. Let's see, we do real estate closings, the consulting side. Basically, the tagline for the consulting side is we create solutions, creative solutions to real estate problems where an attorney isn't really needed, but a real estate agent can help you because it isn't related to a sale. So we do all of that. As far as on my personal side, I am a huge charitable person. So I'm on the board of a few nonprofits. One of them, which is my favorite, is Blessings in a Backpack. We provide food for children during the weekends when they don't have food to eat. Usually at school, they get their breakfast and their lunch free, but then they don't have food to take home or to eat during the weekend. So we are currently feeding 8,400 children in our area. 8,400 children.
Wow.
Weekend all through the year. So I'm really involved in all of that. I also have a reading program for kids in elementary school. And on a personal side, I have two boys, a 28-year-old, a 10-year-old, and I just became a grandmother of a boy. Another one that has my name. His name is Kyron. I'm Karina. They kind of like just rotated my letters around to give him my name. So I'm excited. He's a month old. So I'm full of boys in my life.
Well, you don't look like a grandma.
Oh my goodness, that lighting is
That's amazing. You have a very big spread in your boys' age, because I have a 25, a 15, and a 5-year-old. So I have a big spread in all mine as well.
But at least you kept them kind of coming. I went 18 years with nothing. So I had my son, and then when he went away to college is when I had my little one. So they've never lived together. And you know, my son came back home, but he never actually moved back in. You know, he went to college, he came back, and you know, he's doing his thing. Thankfully he lives 4 minutes away. But they're 18 years apart, and I thought it was going to be great. But recently my 10-year-old told me, we were recording something, he and I, and he said that he didn't feel as close to Akai as he felt he should be. And I think it's because, you know, they've never lived together. Their ages are so separate. So it kind of tugged at me a little, but you know, we're working on it.
Awesome. I love the fact that you're also a woman in minority owned business. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you some questions. I mean, I have 100 ways to go. Like, you know, what are the challenge of owning your own business and, you know, juggling parenting? What is the challenge of being a woman in a primary, I would say, isn't your industry very male dominated?
Yes. You know, I do have to say that my personality is very much like a man's personality. You know, I look like a woman, right? But internally I'm, you know, I fight and, you know, I don't back down. And I think that's really helped me be where I'm at today and be in the position I'm in today. I mean, I've owned this business for 15 years. We started as a real estate law office, and then I bought my business partner out and converted it into a consulting firm for a variety of reasons. But, you know, juggling, I have to say that if you have the right staff, right, and you're feeding into them, they will allow you to sort of get that work-life balance. And I really think my work-life balance is primarily because my staff is amazing. and I love them and they love me. And they allow for, you know, for me to volunteer and happy, and I'm going to be a better boss, and I'm going to be, you know, better with my clients. And they provide a lot of that sort of freedom for me to be able to do those things. So, but it is tough. It's tough, you know, and I don't think that there's really like work-life balance. I think that we go through these episodes where you're really heavy into a project. So you're putting more into your work life for a specific amount of time. And then you take a break and then you put more into your family life. I don't think that I, for me, ever have it totally balanced. I'm either giving too much here or too little here. I kind of go like this, you know. And overall, you know, like the seesaw of life, right? Overall, I'm kind of like bouncing a little. And I think it's normal, but I'm not sure if work-life balance really totally exists like people imagine that it does. I think, you know, sometimes the business priorities take over the family, and sometimes the family priorities take over the business, and you just kind of flow about.
So I have this passion, and it's evolved over the last few years, and it's to really help, we have all kinds of listeners, but to really help women entrepreneurs, because I think that we have a different struggle, and it's more of an internal, like, mental block or struggle, because, you know, we're raised to be more of an empathetic, to be more nurturing. Sometimes we don't have the confidence, and we're our biggest critic.
Guys don't suffer.
And so it's been this struggle, not struggle, but this passion that I've kind of developed over time, and really want. So I love the fact how you talked about, like, there is no real work-life balance. Like, it's an ebb and flow, and it balances out over time, or when you look at it over time. Yeah. So, you know, that being said, what's like the greatest lesson that you ever learned so far in owning and running a business?
Well, that I can't control everything, but that's overall my whole life. And it's transpired into, you know, what I do here at the office too. You know, as women, like you were talking about, you know, we have all of these thoughts that I call it the little girl syndrome, where sometimes it's true. Sometimes I look at myself in the mirror and I'm putting on like my suit, you know, and I'm looking really sharp and I'm going to this big meeting where I want some award or something. And I'll look at myself and I think, well, I'm just a little girl. How did I get here? Why do I have so many responsibilities? Like, I'm just a little girl. You know, and it happens. Like, I literally look at myself in the mirror. It doesn't happen often, but I look at myself in the mirror and I do every once in a while think, wait.
Oh, I do the same thing. I'm like, how did I get here?
I'm not capable of this. I'm only a little girl. Somebody save me, you know? But I think we do question ourselves a lot. And I think that women, we suffer from guilt. I think
100%.
I think a lot of people, you know, they may describe that as something else, but I know in my heart and in my life that is the one thing I suffer with is guilt. I feel guilty that I'm not spending enough time at home. I feel guilty that I'm spending too much time at home. I feel guilty that I'm working too much. I feel guilty when I'm not working too much. I feel guilty when anything happens, literally, you know, when an employee isn't happy, I'm guilty because I'm like, oh, I don't know what happened. Could I have done something better? You know, we do. We kind of like, you know, we tiptoe around this guilt that we get.
I felt guilty. There were three phases that changed my business, and they were all personal things I did, but I was so guilty of letting it go because I'm like, I'm not going to be as good of a mom or wife or business owner. Like, one was when I let my own cleaning company clean my house. right? And I'm like, but I'm supposed to clean my house. Like, what's my, you know what I mean? Like, or when it's I like hired my, it's like when I hired my first executive assistant, like Marilyn saved my life, but I was so guilty. Like, I should be looking at my own emails. Like, I should be scheduling my own appointments. I don't need anybody to help me. But then it gave me the time to go and then focus on the business. And then the third one was when I hired a house helper. My 15-year-old goes, Mom, really? You got a house helper? Like, you can't do the shopping or cook dinner? But it's the guilt of saying, I'm a mom. Yep. I should be cooking dinner, like, because that's my duty as a spouse. And those were the things that changed my business. Like, it's crazy. But the guilt kept me from doing it for so long. I should have did it sooner.
Yep, I agree. And I don't know why women suffer from that, but I think we all do. We have, you know, we're guilty that we're even working. We really are. We're like, I shouldn't be working this much. I should be volunteering my son's school every day, not thinking about, obviously, you got mortgage to pay and you got a car payment and you got things to do. I don't know, but I feel like, so us women suffer from that. And I know that going kind of back, because I didn't really answer your question. I feel like, you know, some of the lessons that I learned, and I'll tell you this, I'll tell you, because it's not really related to the business, but it's related to my whole life and how it changed everything in my life. So I'll show you my scars. I don't know if you've seen that before. You may have.
I have at one of the meetings that I met you at.
Yeah. So that was due to a car accident. And when I had that car accident, just to share a little bit with you, a truck hit us basically head on. I turned the wheel a little enough for him not to, like, for us not to die instantaneously. But he crushed us out of my car. My ear was ripped out of my head, and I lost my vision and my hearing on my left side. I had to have a ton of plastic surgery on my neck just to pull things back together. I still have things that my hair hides. My son was in the car with me. When we were hit, the car, I passed out. So I wasn't coherent or awake, and the car went in the water and sank. And I ended up with a ton of water in my lungs and all kinds of issues. Again, I lost my memory. And my son was in the car, and he was 2 years old. And let me tell you what changed for me. I have always been a very controlling person. And that, I feel, kept me from growing my business, from hiring the right people, from giving them, you know, the tools to do what they needed to do on their own, right? Because I was controlling everything. And when that accident happened, I struggled for a long time. I wasn't, and I'll say this, and I know, you know, it's kind of hard to even say it and voice it, but I really wasn't happy I survived initially. I felt like if I have no control over protecting my own children, you know, you can have the best car and all the airbags and best safety rating. And I couldn't have saved my child. I was saved by the guy that hit us. He actually went in the water and he was trying to get me out, and he couldn't get me out, so he had given up. But then he noticed that Levi was in the car, my son. So then he pulls him out and then decided to go back for me. So my son had, you know, very little, nothing really happened to him. And I was a bit of a mess, but, I went to counseling for it. I realized that we can't control everything, you know? And the minute I actually accepted it and I stopped trying to control things is when, I think my life started getting better. I felt lighter. You know, I stopped putting so much pressure. I stopped taking so much guilt, because I felt like look, I can try the best that I can, and some things are going to work out great and some things aren't. And some of that stuff is completely out of your control. It doesn't matter. You know, sometimes you can go as a woman, you know how we question everything we do. We go to a job interview and then we don't get the job, right? And we're like, oh, I should have worn this, or I should have straightened my hair and looked more professional. I shouldn't have worn that lipstick, or maybe I have too much perfume. I should have said this. I should have put that on there. You know, like I should have responded this way. You're attacking yourself, right? And all along, the person that got the job, which is the son of the VP that was always going to get the job, you had no chance, right? But you don't know that. And I feel like when I stop trying to control everything that happened, I started giving people sort of the tools and empowering them here in my office to do what they needed to do without me. You know, I want them to feel like they're a good member of the team, that they're really supporting the team, that they are smart. I hired them because I believe in them. So I tell them all the time, listen, do what you need to do. Make decisions without me. You don't need to ask me for everything. And if there's a big, big mistake, there's always a solution for everything.
Absolutely.
And that's, you know, and I feel that that I think was the biggest lesson for me in my business was realizing that we can't control everyone. We can't keep every client happy. You know, we're just not going to make everybody happy. We're not for everyone. And you know, and it's okay. It totally is okay. I'm not going to feel guilty about it. I can't control it. You know, you can't.
So my question, I love the story. What are some of the things you do to help you get through the guilt, that guilt feeling?
Oh, well, you know, I talk to my kids a lot. My oldest son, you know, he's 28 now, and the relationship that he and I have, like the adult relationship that we have, is amazing.
Is it?
And
I have to say, the relationship I have with my 25-year-old is amazing. Like, yeah. It's like he turned into a different person and he thinks his mom is smart now.
I know. Listen, my son calls me 3 times a day asking me for everything.
So does mine.
Everything. And I love it. I love it because I'm like, oh, you know, he knows that first that I'm here for him. And second that, you know, I do have something to say that's, you know, that has some value in it. But so the guilt situation, my oldest son, he is my biggest cheerleader. Like my little one thinks I'm Wonder Woman. So he's like, yeah, you can do it all. But my oldest son has seen me through all of, you know, all the trials and tribulations that I've gone through in life. And he doesn't just like believe in me in the superhero way. He really like genuinely, you know, has faith in me, right? And he will tell me when I am feeling guilty, he can tell. And he will remind me not to feel guilty. There are conversations that we have, lots of conversations where he'll say, you remember, Mom, when this and this happened, and you were really mad at me, and I know that you feel guilty because you feel like maybe you didn't do the right thing and guiding me not to get in trouble in that way or whatever. And he always says, it was never you. You know, don't feel guilty. It was never you. It was always me. You've done the best that you possibly can do. You're the best mother ever. And listen, and he's always very positive too. So when I say, I just feel like lately I've been feeling very guilty that I'm not spending a lot of time with my grandson. Like I expected to have a grandchild and I don't know, like totally take over the grandbaby, you know, and like he be mine. And I haven't been able to because I'm so busy. And with a 10-year-old that plays every sport, I mean, we're running around and I've been feeling guilty, but he just really grounds me. You know, he just reminds me that if I'm feeling guilty because I don't know, I went out of town to speak somewhere. Right. And I wasn't home. He'll remind me of the positives that come from that, you know, like how many people's lives did you change, you know, and we know what you're doing and we appreciate it and we look up to you and we're proud of you. So, I mean, let us be proud of you. Go do your thing, you know. So And I think, and I know not everybody has an adult child like I do, that has that relationship with them, but somebody I think in your family or somebody, maybe a best friend or somebody that can maybe guide you through the guilt emotions and turn them into positives, you know, make sure that you're seeing both sides of there's a positive reason why you're doing what you're doing. And if you're feeling guilty over it, you know, you have to kind of go backwards to think about why am I doing this? You know, why am I leaving town to go speak to a group of people? Right. You know, so why am I feeling guilty? I wanted this. So you kind of sometimes have to get somebody to remind you why you're doing what you're doing, why you even got into it and why you, which is not making you feel guilty, but you know.
I think for me, especially, you know, even working with say my family or even employees or the company is just communicating the fact that you feel guilty about it. Yeah. Like it's okay to say to your staff, like, man, I feel guilty. I haven't been here very much. Mm-hmm. I've been doing X, Y, and Z, like just another level of communication or even just saying it out loud makes you feel better. Talking through it with someone, whether it is staff, a friend, family, mm-hmm. just talking through it and saying it out loud, because you're probably not the only one that feels that way.
Yeah. And you know, again, we all feel guilty. And my assistant, her name is Maricela, and I have to say it because I love her. She's been with me for 12 years and she knows everything about me. And let me tell you, I can walk into the office and she could be like, what's wrong today? You know, like she knows and she's amazing. So we talk a lot. Like she's on vacation right now. And I push her to take vacation all the time. I'm like, go. You want to go on a boat? Go, you know, because she does so much for me. And I do. I feel guilty that I'm not in the office as often. And the staff understands that, you know, if I sit in the office the very next month, we make less money. It's like it happens every time, right? If they keep me in the office all month working on a project, I'm not out there touching, you know, which is what I do. I touch. And if I'm not out there touching, then, you know, things kind of slow down for the following month. And it happens every time. So the staff knows that I need to be out. And I think you too, I mean, for your business, what you're doing is developing your business. It's increasing the business. It's putting light on your business, right? It's bringing awareness to what you're doing.
And creating relationships and that keep all that momentum going.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, I think, and I said it earlier, having the right staff, and that's hard to do. I mean, finding the right people is hard to do. But once you find them, you have to really be empathetic to their issues too, and be there for them, not just as a boss, but, you know, as a friend. And I know that a lot of people are like, oh, you can't mix like, you know, business and pleasure, but I don't believe in that. I tell my staff everything. They know. They know when I'm crying. They know when I've broken up with a man and I'm just like, oh. They know when I meet a new man. I'm like, oh. You know.
So let's talk about that then. Let's talk about challenges. What do you feel is like your current biggest challenge? You know, what do you call your seat in your company? Are you CEO, COO, visionary? I don't know. Like, what do you call yourself in your company?
I am the president of the company.
President.
I don't have like a, you know, like a different title. You know, I've always been the president and I'm the president. I'm kind of like the North Star, right? I'm kind of, I stay away from, I should give myself that title. The North Star.
You're the North Star. I'm the North Star.
You know, where I kind of am further away, but I'm shining the light and I'm also guiding your way. That's what I do here. So but my staff mainly runs the majority of the business. So yeah, I'm the president, North Star.
Okay. So as the president / North Star, what's your current challenge? Like, is it personal? Is it like challenge that you're hitting like a block or growth issue? Like, what do you feel your current biggest challenge is right now?
You know, and I feel like we started recording videos for all of our processes. And when I hire someone, I never hire anybody for a higher position, like a higher position. I always hire for receptionist. And when we have an opening for a higher position, we move that receptionist to that position, right?
Oh, nice.
Always do that. So I never, ever hire someone like, we're not going to hire a closer. We're going to hire a receptionist. We're going to see how she does. And if we need a closer, we're going to try to train her into this, that, or move someone else in the company into that position. So for us, our biggest issue is that I've spent a ton of time putting together these videos for it. And I think everybody, and if you guys are listening to this, this is really a great idea. Somebody, actually, an ex-boyfriend of mine gave me that idea. He had great ideas. And I implemented it. So what I did was everything that receptionist position does, from clocking in to making copies to walking to the FedEx box to stamping mail to drafting a letter to turning on the TVs in the conference rooms, like everything that I expect them to do, I have a video for it. And it's me actually doing the work. So it's like a video of me walking to the FedEx box. Let me show you what the FedEx box is. You know, so when we hire someone, the first week they spend watching all of our videos. So they feel like I personally have trained them, but I haven't spent a minute doing it. And then after the week of them reviewing everything, then we get them into heavier stuff. But at least by the time they come to me, they know what we do. I have them watch some of our YouTube channels, some of our videos of like what closings look like, what papers are, you know, what documents we deal with, you know, all that stuff. There's a lot there. And I feel like where I'm lacking right now is that I felt so proud that I did that. And it took me so much work that I stopped, right? So now the rest of my staff is like, hey, Karina, can we get a video on this? And I'm like, yeah. And I write it down, right? And I can't bring myself to sit down and actually do videos for the higher staff. I don't know why that's a big challenge for me right now. I don't know, but I almost feel like, oh God, I can't take on that big project. Like I'm looking at it like a big project when it probably isn't, you know, I could do a video here and a video there and just pop them in.
Yeah.
But I think that's a thing. And the other thing that's a challenge right now for us is just finding, qualified people. Because we always hire for the receptionist position, it's kind of an easier one, but also the one that turns over the most, which is why we did what we did with the videos, because we can't spend a month training someone and then 3 months later they leave. And it happens often because that's a position that, doesn't get paid the most. You know, yeah. It is a full-time position. You have to be here. You have to be professional. You're at the starting level here. And it's a hard position to fill and keep filled because of that, because somebody comes in and they're getting paid, you know, whatever they're getting paid. And then they're here for 2 months and they go somewhere else and they say, oh yeah, I've been working for, you know, Borgia Law or Borgia Consulting in American Real Title. They're like, you're hired. Right. And then they're gone. So I think that the rollover of the lower paying positions, it's hard for us. And it's so hard that in December, we had our receptionist went to college and she actually moved away to college. And after that, I decided not to hire another receptionist. It's been 3 months and we haven't had a receptionist. And, I struggle with finding the right people, finding people that will want to stay and grow with us, because that's really the idea. And again, in my other positions, my people have been here forever. Like I said, you know, my other closer slash assistant's been with me for 12 years. And I have staff out of the country as well with me for years too. So that's nice. You know, we have enough people, but we have no receptionist right now. That's a challenge for me. That's a big challenge.
Yeah. You know, the whole COVID, the great resignation thing, the one thing that it did do that I've talked about in several other videos is that, so statistically they're saying that the great resignation is over, but what it did was it conditioned people to be comfortable quitting their jobs.
Yep.
And it conditioned the job hopping versus before that COVID mentality. It was like, I get a good job. I stay there. I save my money. I live in a house with a white picket fence. That whole thing is over because people want time freedom. They want to travel. They want to work remote. They want the ability to work how they want, where they want, and when they want. But it also conditioned people to be comfortable with quitting.
Yep. Yeah. And it is hard. Everybody wants to work from home. I mean, my oldest son, basically he was working for a company that downsized. So he was let go. And he literally didn't work for like 2 months because he was adamant that he needed a work from home job. And he was offered a ton of positions. And he was like, nope, 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 nope. So, yeah, I mean, it's difficult. And what I do, you know, if you think about what I do, what we do, if you were to buy or sell a house, you have to sign documents, right? And there, a lot of these are being done online now. Or, you know, I can email documents to somebody. Somebody's doing it remotely. But people want to have the space to come in, to sit down, to sign their documents. They want to see an actual office when they're dropping off their checks for deposits. I mean, we like everybody's like, oh, you should go virtual. Like, I don't even know what that would look like because people just show up, you know, with deposit checks and they want to make sure that they're dropping their money.
A real person,
somebody they know, you know, and it's difficult for us because it requires us to have staff in the office. We have to have staff in the office. There's nothing we could do about it. I would love for all of us to be able to work remotely, but it's impossible in my line of business. And that's what it is. You probably feel the same way. I mean, when people are cleaning a house, you can't do that remotely.
Yeah. So we have transitioned a lot of our culture and the way we do things into kind of more of a remote setting because our technicians, they work from an app, like they go from their home to the first home and they're not coming into an office every day to the same office every day. But at the same time, it can't be a full remote company. It's a remote, a hybrid. I don't remember what we call it. Remote, like something like that. Cause our scheduler can be remote or our sales, but ultimately we can't clean a house through Zoom.
Right. And that's with us. The staff that's out of the country, they're all doing processing and payoffs and, you know, preparing title commitments, things that are all, you know, web-based from our apps and things. And of course, and they can answer phones too. We're all connected to the same system. So if, you know, if I have an employee that's in Thailand today, I don't have any in Thailand, but if I did, you know, I could just, you know, press a button and reach out to them from our own phone systems. We're all connected and stuff. So it's kind of like they're here, but yeah, some of those positions can, but you know, we at least need 3 people in the office at all times. I mean, we just do because of the line of business that we're in and people want to see us. They want to see us. When I'm not in the office, you have no idea how many times people are like, Karina, you're always on vacation. I'm like, boy, I haven't taken a vacation since Thanksgiving, but I'm not in the office and they don't see me. So, and that's why I do a lot of the videos. Like I do videos for, I have, which is great too, for people that are watching, you know, things, ideas, right? To keep you from having to actually be the one touching base with all of your clients all the time. I pre-recorded these videos that get sent by a remote staff member every so often. So at the beginning of the file, you'll get a video of me that says, hey, we're together, I'm super excited, you know, and then they feel like they saw me, right? Mm-hmm. So they are not calling me. And then I answer all the questions and I'm like, click this link and that link and then this link and then you're going to get another video, you know? So like I do all of that stuff. Like I realize what calls we're getting the most, and I put those on video and I explain it all in video, and through the process where I know this is the next question that's going to come because now the file is 2 weeks old, you know, send that video out. And my, I don't even have to tell them that now. They know when these videos need to go out.
That's awesome. Yeah, we did the same thing and organize it. I am in every email in a video. I'm in every communication in video. I answer every question in video form. Video has been my best friend. And I think it's a big differentiator as well as like a competitive advantage of some of the owners that don't want to do video or are not as comfortable with it. Because for what we found is it's easier to create systems, processes, interact with customers and employees. I do a Friday video every Friday to our employees, just doing it's like we call it the TGIF dispatch. It's what's happening, what's new, and what to expect.
Oh, I like it. I think I'm going to implement that.
It's just a 3 to 5 minute, just fast, like nothing super formal. It's just to give them a consistent like feel of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to do that because, you know, it's funny. Just yesterday, I was like, I need to implement Monday morning meetings. So I was, I'm big into Masterclass. You know what Masterclass is? The, you know, it's like an app that's got all of these. Okay. Yeah. And these people, these, you know, professionals that have made it, they teach you their tools or whatever. It goes from everything. But I was watching Martha Stewart's the other day. I love Martha Stewart.
And I was at this is a whole different topic. I like the wine 19 Crimes. And
Yeah.
And so I'm at the store getting a 19 Crimes Cabernet. And I look up and Martha Stewart's on the cover of 19 Crimes Chardonnay. Because it's everyone who's been committed a crime. Yes. It's on the bottles of 19 Crimes. And I'm like,
5 months.
Martha Stewart made it. She's on the front of 19 Crimes Chardonnay.
Yeah. Did you know that she also, at the age of 80-something, right, posed for, you probably saw this, for Sports Illustrated, the swimsuit issue.
Yes.
And looked at amazing. Anyway, so, but she was, you know, she's very good at this. Like what you're doing with your videos, you know, she does these meetings, you know, with her staff at home and her staff at the office. And, you know, like she does them actually every day. I can't do a meeting every day. But I started thinking, I really need to implement the Monday morning meeting. But the problem with us is that we all, because I give my employees the ability to work the way that they like to work, our schedules are all over the place. You know, my assistant may have 3 meetings from 9 to 11 and she puts it on the calendar, but we have no time to speak.
So they work more of an asynchronous style.
Yeah. And then, you know, we got Angel who may have like 2 conference calls with clients that he needs to get info from. And then we got Vicky that's got, you know, it's dealing with banks and whatever. And it's very hard to get us together. So when I thought, oh, I need this meeting, I was like, forget it. It'll never happen. We've tried it before. I love your idea with the video. I'm going to do it.
And if I'm late,
it's just you telling them what's going on. So it doesn't have to take an hour like our old meetings used to take.
Yeah. And if I'm late with the video, they're like, hey, where's your Friday video? So they're expecting it. They like that consistency, that level of communication. It's asynchronous. So asynchronous means they can digest it whenever they want because they have control over their schedule.
Yep.
So we work in more of an asynchronous style that can scare some people. You have to be comfortable with asynchronous.
Yep.
But it really gives your staff kind of that empowerment to lead themselves. Here's the thing. If they can't meet those expectations, you're going to see them fail quite quickly.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
So I have one last question before we wrap up. And it is, Karina, what would you tell the younger version of yourself? Like knowing what you know now, what would you tell the younger version of yourself to kind of the advice you would give her to kind of expedite that growth? Like, what do you know now that you're like, oh my God, I finally knew that when I was 20. Be a billionaire by now.
You know, I think that I would tell myself that I don't know it all and I can't do it all and I can't take everything on. Because man, I suffered with that. I wanted to do everything. I didn't want to let go of nothing. You know, it was like, no one does it better than me. I'm the only one that could do it this good. Right. If I didn't have that issue within myself, I would have grown, you know, faster than I have as far as on the business side of things. Because it just, you can't, if you're going to grow, you have to have people work alongside you. But you can't, you know, you got to delegate. You can't take it all on. I mean, you can't do all of your accounting and all your marketing and still take care of your clients. You can't, no. Right? So you have to hire people and then trust them. Because that was my issue, is that I would trust someone enough to hire them, but then I wouldn't trust them to do the work.
I love that you said that. Right? I'm totally guilty of the same thing when I was younger. I think it comes with age and experience. But, you know, I see so many people hire people. I mean, a great example is like, you know, we hire people to clean people's houses. I have to have full trust in them to even send them in my own house versus even, you know, strangers' houses, which is our customers or our customers' houses. And it's just empowering them and training them and having those processes to then just let go.
Yes, you have to, because again, you can't control everything either. So it goes hand in hand. I would tell my younger self, girl, you don't know it all. Girl, you can't take it all on. Girl, you're not going to grow if you pretend to be the only one that can do everything the way that you want it done. And it's okay if things aren't done your way.
Absolutely. So that is a great note to end on, Karina. So Karina, I want to thank you for being a guest on the Fearlessness podcast. So is there anything up next for you? Anything exciting you want to share? We're going to make sure to put your information in our show notes so any of our listeners can find you. But do you have anything in the works? Anything exciting?
Last year I wrote a chapter in a book that became a bestseller. And it was something very personal in my life that led me to this, like, I have no control of anything kind of, you know, mentality that really I love right now. I'm loving it. And I'm going to start working on writing more. So I think it's not totally in yet. You know, I have a reading program for kids, so I write children's stories and I've never published any of them. So I think I'm going to start working on my writing abilities.
That's so exciting. I start writing with a writer April 1st for my first book.
It's really just like we were talking about earlier, like what would you tell your younger self? You know, when I was asked to write that chapter, they said, we need 1500 words. And I was like, I can write 1500 words in 2 minutes. And I literally sat and cried for like 8 hours because I didn't even know how to start. And then, you know, things like emotional things, because if you're talking about your life, you're like, well, I don't want to share that. Or maybe I should share it. And, you know, you start questioning yourself. So don't do that to yourself. Let it all out.
I did hire a writer to help me because I you know, Gary Vee, I don't know if you follow Gary Vee, but any of the books he wrote, he never wrote. He talked through the process. So I'm a talker. So we're going to talk it. He's going to write. He wrote Buy Back Your Time, which was a New York bestseller. That's one of his most recent books that he ghost wrote for Dan Martell. But you know, when I signed the deal to do this, I'm like, here comes the little girl syndrome. Who's going to want to read a book about me? Like, what do I have to share? And then luckily I have like my husband, a group of friends are like, no, it's awesome. You're going to crush it. I'll read the book. Like, I'm like, okay.
I'll read the book too.
You get in that. Like, yeah. Well, what do you have to say?
You know, that's isn't that what they call, it's a syndrome.
Imposter syndrome.
Imposter syndrome, right. That we're like, oh, we're not good enough for this. I swear that only happens to women. Women are the only sufferers of imposter syndrome.
Well, I want to wrap this up before we go over time. So I want to thank all of our listeners. If you enjoyed this episode, which was a great time, you can find more of them on libbyd.com or thefearlessness.com. So guys, that's a wrap into the heart of fearlessness. Remember, every step we take is a move towards our strength and our own courage. Keep walking through those fires, because on the other side lies a version of yourself that's unstoppable. I'm Libby, reminding you to embrace your fearlessness. Until next time, stay brave, stay bold, and keep pushing forward.